We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, we hear from Pastor Benjamin Gilmore in his series about fear. Benjamin is an equipped pastor at Gateway's South Lake campus and is the author of Fear No More, Fear God Evermore. Let's listen in.
Hey, my name is Benjamin Gilmore. I am just so excited to be here. I serve here at Gateway Church. Been here a little while serving in worship and prayer, freedom and equip. And I'm just so excited to be talking to you about Fear No More. In this episode, we're going to look at an introduction to fear. What is fear? We're going to unpack it, look at what it isn't, and really explore some of the confusion that maybe surrounds fear. You know, it's my goal to go on a journey with you to get behind fear, to find out what's really going on behind the scenes, because really we've all been in a fight against fear, but I'm here today to tell you it is time to fight differently. I've battled fear much of my life, so has my wife, and fear is something that we sat down together and decided that this is something that we don't want to pass down to our children. And here's the truth, fear is a legacy issue. The battles you fight today will determine the battles your children fight tomorrow. And fear pops up at the least expected times, and it cripples us. It keeps us from living and being and doing as God would have us. You know, I can remember back while my wife was pregnant, speaking of a legacy issue, she started having upper abdominal pains. Next thing you know, we find ourselves in the ER talking to a doctor who's explaining that she might have a blood clot in her lungs, and going unaddressed, it could mean death for my wife and death for the baby inside of her. This was not something we expected, but what made it even more difficult is he said, look, we got to do a scan, but here's the thing. If we do the scan, it greatly increases the chances of child onset leukemia for your child. And I was just like, what kind of decision is that? In that moment, there's an opportunity for fear. When my wife and I were dating, she found herself in a place of fighting this medical condition called tachycardia. Her heart would race at 250 beats per minute. I mean, my wife, she's 5'2", so it's shaking her whole body. In those moments, fear has an opportunity. In 2014, I was having surgery to just get my tonsils removed, no big deal. Right at the end of the recovery, I wake up one morning, 7 a.m., with something in my throat. A blood vessel had ruptured and I was bleeding out. In those moments, fear has a real chance to set in. The doctor told me, you didn't do anything wrong. It's just a 3% chance. Well, imagine 2 years later when my dad has a mystery illness. It turns out to be Rocky Mountain fever. And they tell me, hey, don't worry. There's just a 3% chance of death. 3% was enough for me. Was it going to be enough for my dad? In times like this, fear has an opportunity to set in. I can remember a story about an 8-year-old boy. He woke up one night, the power was out, there was a raging storm, lightning was flashing. You know, it's one of those nights where it's so black, the only thing that you can see comes from lightning striking. It's just this creepy white covering on everything is hot. And there's one problem this kid has is that he has to go to the bathroom. And there's a long distance between him and that bathroom, and it includes a dark hall that's being lit up by some creepy lightning. So he's sitting there debating, I'm 8 years old. I can't wet my bed. I'm too old for that. My dad's made that clear. But I ain't going down that hallway because it's dark and I can't see. And whatever lurks in the hallway, man, I shudder to think. So being the creative genius that he was, he pulled out his trash can and took care of business. Now, I'm not saying that's me. I would never tell you that. Okay, it was me, but don't tell your friends. The fact of the matter is there's stories in all of our lives about fear, and some of them are funny and some of them are not, but it is prevalent in our society. According to a study, fears of corrupt government officials, terrorist attack, not enough money for the future, being a victim of terror oneself, government restrictions, people we love dying, economic or financial collapse, identity theft, people we love becoming seriously ill. These are just a few of the top fears of our society. And fear of rejection, failure, success, even death lurk behind many of these, or sometimes they ride in the forefront of our minds, but we're going to approach fear today in a way that maybe you've not approached fear before. So many times we want to talk about the conversation of fear, and it becomes a deep focus in our lives where we're so concerned about what we do or do not fear. And I really want to approach it over these episodes in the same way that we see in Psalm 34, verse 4 to 6. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fear. What we're going to do is we're going to seek the Lord, and he's going to deliver us from our fear. God, we come to you and we look to you to deliver us from all our fear, and we make you our focus in Jesus' name. Maybe you're like me, and when you think about fear, your mind immediately goes to the spirit of fear. Of course, in 2 Timothy 1:7, we see, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Jimmy Evans has this quote. I love it. He says, the spirit of fear is a lying prophetic spirit. I mean, think about that. The spirit of fear comes to us. Maybe it comes to you every day. Maybe it's come to you on your drive to work. Maybe it's come to you in situations in your family that feel very weighty. But this spirit of fear comes to you, and it tells you a story about what is to come. And that is why we say it's a lying prophetic spirit. And this spirit, this lying spirit, is coming and seeking to destroy you, to destroy me, and to destroy your family. It's here to destroy your legacy. And this shouldn't come as a surprise. John 8:44 tells us Satan's a liar, and John 10:10 says that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So it follows that the spirit of fear would be wrapped up in both of these things, spinning lies and seeking to destroy. But even in looking at the conversation of the spirit of fear, it leaves us in a place of asking, what is fear? And it's an important question to answer, because if we don't know what we're fighting, we will use the wrong tools, the wrong strategies, the wrong weapons, and we will lose. I'm reminded of sports teams, whether you're a football fan or a hockey fan or a soccer fan. Sports teams often look at the game film of the other team to see, how do they work? What's really going on with this team? How are they fighting so that they can step into the arena and fight well? So here's what I want to ask. What is fear? As we look at this question, I realize that there's a lot of confusion on fear. You know, if there's a snake in my car and I'm afraid of it, you say, you know, that's probably smart. You should probably be afraid of that snake. That's good. That's a good thing. But if I have a fear of failure, that's the enemy of success. So you'd say, man, that's bad. You shouldn't fear that. That's bad. So already we see this duality of fear, that if we fear one thing, it's good. If we fear another thing, it's bad. You know, growing up, I didn't have to watch scary movies. The commercials were enough for me. And someone on those commercials, they're walking down a hallway in some old abandoned farmhouse. I don't know why they were there. It just doesn't make sense. Like, why don't you just run off onto the, like, into the woods? I'd rather fight a bear than a guy with a piece of farm equipment. And that's exactly what was going on. A guy with some random piece of farm equipment is trying to chase him down and do all sorts of horrible things. And in that moment, that person, every step they take, every turn they make, every breath they breathe, every decision, it's just fear has gripped them. And so I was raised in a church culture that said, fear not. Don't fear anything. God's with you. And I'm like, I'll buy into that. I've seen the commercials of those scary movies. I don't want to fear. And I'm all about it. And of course, Genesis chapter 26, verse 24 says, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant's namesake. Speaking to Isaac, he says, hey, I'm the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear. So I'm like, yes, I agree. We should not fear. I want to be fearless. I've seen the commercials. I've had enough scary stuff happen in my life. I want to be fearless. And so I engage at that point in trying really hard not to fear. But then I'm reading through scripture and I see that I'm told to fear God. I'm supposed to not fear? I'm supposed to fear God? I just don't get it. Even when we look at the world's definition of fear found in the dictionary, it mostly circles around an emotion. We know from talking already just a little bit about the spirit of fear that the conversation of fear is much bigger than just an emotion. So what do we do with that? If we experience negativity due to fearing one thing, like for example, I experience negativity from fearing success, but we experience very powerful, wonderful, and desirable things from fearing something else, like fearing God or fearing snakes. I mean, it's very powerful, wonderful, and desirable to fear snakes because any day that I don't get bit by a snake is a good day for me. But if I can fear one thing and it be bad and fear another thing and be good, it tells me two things. The first thing it tells me is that fear itself may not be negative or positive. But in fact, the effect of fearing is positive or negative, depending upon the thing that I fear. The second thing it tells me is I might be fearing the wrong thing. I find myself over and over in this whirlpool of confusion about fear. I read in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Okay, there's no fear in love, so I shouldn't have any fear. But I'm supposed to fear God, and God is love. This doesn't seem to equate, and I get more confused when I find out in Job chapter 1 that Job feared God because of the good things that he'd done for him. I just really don't understand this. I thought I was supposed to fear God because he could strike me with lightning or ruin my life. It's really hard to conceptualize fearing God because we think that if fear is a bad thing, then to fear God means we have to fear God doing bad things to us. And some of you listening right now have been fearing God's punishment. But God punished Jesus. He's all out of punishment. Our fear of God is not based on what he can do, but on who he is. Just as I start feeling like I might be getting a little bit of clarity in the conversation of fear, I read Ephesians 5:21 that describes the fear of Christ, that we're supposed to have this fear of Christ. Like a fear of Christ, how does that make sense? He died for me. He is the picture of love poured out. How could I fear him? And you say, well, we're reading this in English. Maybe there's, a little Hebrew and Greek stuff going on here that maybe there's just some different words in the Greek and Hebrew for fear. Well, that's true. There's a lot of words for fear in the Hebrew and the Greek. But the words used for fear not and fear God, there's not a special set aside. The same word used for fear not is used for fear God. It gives us no help. So what do? Especially when we see that the fear of Christ is using the Greek word phobos, the word that we get phobia from. It's like blowing my mind. What do I do with this? And we spend a lot of time fighting being consumed with fear. That may not be the problem at all. We might just be consumed with the fear of the wrong things. So let me talk about what fear actually is. Let me present a definition for you. Fear is the heightened sense of awareness of the dynamic of relationship between two things, which recognizes the severe superiority of one over the other and its control of the outcome of one's future. Okay, that's a wordy definition. What does this look like? Well, let me tell you. That guy who was in the farmhouse, really, really worried about the other guy chasing him with the farm equipment, that guy who was consumed in fear, every step he took, every turn he made, even the breaths he breathed were passed through the filter of how does this affect the dynamic of relationship between me and this guy with the chainsaw? Believing, recognizing that this guy with the chainsaw has a real and powerful ability to affect my future. And so let's unpack this another way. Let's say this another way. If you fear something, when you fear something, you are noting its power and ability to impact your future in a real and significant way. I mean, think about snakes. If there's a snake sitting right in front of me right now, man, I am going to have a heightened sense of awareness of the dynamic relationship between me and that snake, recognizing that that snake has the ability to affect my future in a real and profound way. Even if I am trained to know how to handle a snake, I still have a healthy fear of that snake. Every move I make is being passed through the dynamic relationship between me and that snake. Where is the snake? How far away is it? How does that snake feel about me right now? Because if he's a grumpy snake, I might act a little bit differently. Maybe you're afraid of a boss. Maybe you have a fear of a boss. I can tell you right now that you have a heightened sense of awareness of the dynamic relationship between you and that boss, because you believe that that boss has a real and powerful ability to affect your future in a significant way. It's affecting how you write your emails. It's affecting who you interact with at the office. It's affecting even the way you walk through the building. We can have a fear of other people, but what about a fear of God? And a lot of us haven't known what it is to fear God. We've heard we should, but what does it mean? Let me tell you, when we fear God, we are walking in a posture that seeks to consider how everything in our lives affects our relationship with God. Every decision we make, every turn, even the breaths we breathe is passed through the filter of how does this affect the dynamic of relationship between me and my God. And I'm not talking about the ability to lose salvation. We know from John 10:27 to 29 and Romans 8:38 to 39 that no one can snatch any of God's children from his hand, and that nothing we can do can separate us from his love. But let me tell you, if I do something boneheaded to my wife, she's still my wife, but it's going to affect our relationship. And that's how it is with God. We're still his children, but if we're not passing everything we do, everything we think, everything we set our hands to through a filter of how does this reflect my relationship? How does this affect my relationship with God? Understanding that he has a real and powerful ability to affect my future, then if we're not doing that, then we don't fear God. I want to explore over the next few episodes this thing called fear. I want to really get behind it and see what's going on. Why is it there? And I want to take a journey with you to fear, but I want to take a journey with you through fear. If you want to go deeper in any of this content, you can find my book, Fear No More, on Amazon.com, or you can visit my website, BenjaminGilmore.org. I'm so excited and grateful to go through this journey with you. Let's together say, fear no more. It's time to fight different.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more information on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.